welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. I was looking here during the break at an interesting article, series of public service announcements that had been discovered here by the MSN network, the Microsoft network, and we've got it on Phil TV here. At least we have it in the small versions of these ads. And what they were public service ads from the 1940s that, quote, warn about the real enemy. Now, what do you suppose that is?
About the Nazis.
No, the real enemy.
Venereal disease.
Yes.
And it says here, these PSAs from the 1940s warn about the real enemy, venereal disease. Here's one here.
Let me see what it says. She may look clean, but God, man, you're saying she's all dirty and everything.
Yeah. They're talking to the service guys. They're talking to the military guys, and they're basically telling them, you know, that you got to watch out. What you're doing here. This girl says she may look clean, but, you know, she spreads syphilis and gonorrhea. God.
Well, she looks like a perfectly lovely girl. How dare they do? Why wouldn't they show a woman that is obviously trashy?
Because if some of these guys think that because a girl looks really cute, she doesn't have venereal disease.
Well, I understand that, but why not show? And you're going to think I'm racist.
Oh, don't say it, Margaret.
No, I didn't say black. I didn't say black.
What are you going to say, Hispanic?
Yes.
How about showing a white girl? What's wrong with that?
Because no one would believe it.
Well, what? What is that supposed to mean? The fact is, this is aimed for an audience that is, this is aimed for people that are not alive any longer. If they are, they're very old. This is aimed for the young servicemen of the 1940s about getting venereal disease. And you got to watch out. Because she may look clean. And see, this girl that they got a picture of here looks like a nice girl next door. Here's one here. The great crippler. Good God. Syphilis. Here's one here. Don't wait. 70% are doomed. Meaning if you get venereal disease. Because back then, they didn't have antibiotics. You know?
Well, not till later.
Not till later.
What's an antibiotic?
That's what kills the germ, the bacteria. It's what kills the syphilis virus, or no, the syphilis germ, bacteria, whatever, the biotic. And before that, they did not have antibiotics, so people got something that was called psychosyphilis, something like that.
Yeah, that's that lady who said they're going to go nuts. You go nuts if you have that. Ain't that what Frank has?
No, Frank doesn't have that. Frank has a form of dementia because of, yes, a very slight untreated case, but he has good days and bad.
Well, the only thing that's noticeable about Frank is he has gender confusion.
Yes, and there are some days when he just doesn't get anything right, and there's other days where he slips into the right gender. It all depends.
What does it depend on?
It depends on whether Jason J. Delmonico and I are around. If we're not home, and he's allowed to lay around and be slovenly and, you know.
Perform, like.
I don't know how to say it.
Okay.
What are you talking about? Like, he's playing with himself?
All right, take it easy, will you?
Yes. Then he can recover for about a week. But only if he's allowed to lay around with his robe open and food on the floor.
Why is that?
I don't know.
So if he's got to be living with you, then he's going to be calling you a he for the day, for forever.
Yeah, that's what sounds like to me.
What do you mean if he's got to be living with me?
Well, that's what you're saying. If you and Jason J. Delmonico are home.
Well, he made it sound like if he's with me, he can't help but call me a he.
Well.
Well, watch how you say that.
All right, he doesn't mean anything by it, Margaret. It's just the interpretation that he has no choice but to put on it. Here's another one. Stamp out syphilis and gonorrhea. Have you had your blood test and examinations? Go to your doctor or Department of Health. Good Lord. Men who know say no to prostitutes. Here we are. This gets right down to it because this is what they're talking about. It says here that during the 1940s, who were the U.S. soldiers' biggest enemies? Germany, Italy, and Japan, you may guess. Well, not according to these sexual health posters from the time, which highlight the dangers posed by sex. According to posters, harlots and hookers might booby trap unsuspecting servicemen with syphilis and gonorrhea, leaving them unable to fight for their real enemies in the war, or fight against their real enemies in war. Sometimes men were urged to resist temptation, or at least use a, quote, rubber, end quote. But more often the message was clear. Avoid unsafe sex and the venereal diseases it might lead to, or at least get yourself to a doctor right away for a cure. Check out these 1940s posters and see what you think of this lesser-known World War II PSA. It's very interesting. So this is men who know say no to prostitutes.
They're very modern-looking posters, aren't they?
Well, there was a certain look they had in those days. They used a lot of silhouetting. Syphilis, 51%. What does this say? 51% out of 10 cured because...
What?
I don't know. 51 out of 10 cured because they did not wait too long. Okay, 51% out of 10. That's a weird way of saying it.
What's that? It's like five guys and a tenth of a guy.
Yeah. Is that because of a war injury and stuff? What is?
What are you talking about?
If they say five and one-tenth of a guy, is that because of the war injuries?
Are you trying to tell me that one-tenth of a guy got cured?
Well, if they come back and there's
only one-tenth of a guy?
No, you jackasses.
Why you always call me a jackass?
Because the question's the stupidest thing I ever heard in my life. Did one-tenth of a guy come back?
Well, a lot of bad injuries then.
No kidding. I think if there's only one-tenth of a guy, you could pretty much safely say that guy's dead.
Well, but they still got to count him in a statistic.
No, they don't count him in a statistic, you moron, because he's dead. Dead, 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 Red. He's dead.
Yeah, 22 years.
Yeah.
All right, so there's that one. Here's one. The enemy is syphilis. Then something about enlist in the campaign against it. And it shows some guy in one of those tin pot hats with a gas mask on. The enemy is syphilis. Venereal disease covers the earth. Learn to protect yourself now. And it shows some girl. This is the 1940s version of a harlot. She's wearing all red. She's got a red beret on. She's a brunette, not a blonde, you'll notice.
Well, that's very interesting.
Yeah, she's a brunette.
That means she's Mexican?
No, not necessarily. I just think that the whole thing about brunettes, you know, brunettes are like sluts and harlots, and blondes are all American girls, you know.
And yet blondes in real life are the sluts and harlots.
No, that's not true either.
I'd say that blondes are more like a slut than a brunette.
That's because you're black and you don't have no blonde.
Yeah, we do if she dyes her hair, you dumbass.
All right, take it easy, will you? I think that the thing Margaret's right, and I think the observation is a legitimate one. The brunettes are always the ones that are in the 40s. Nowadays, I don't know. Nowadays, they don't have ads like these. Nowadays, they simply say to these guys, you know, you better use protection or you're going to get, you know, sick. You're going to get a disease. We don't have to. It's something that we've dealt with out in the open for long enough where we don't have to do this kind of ridiculous. I shouldn't call it ridiculous. For today, this would be asinine. If we had posters up in the barracks and in the military installations of America with these kinds of posters, venereal disease covers the earth, I think that we would be in big trouble. I think we'd have a bunch of morons out there, man. But I think that today, most everybody understands sexually transmitted diseases are everywhere, and I don't care how beautiful she is or how, you know, handsome he is.
What are you talking about that for?
Because there's females in the military. All right, so moving on here to the next one. A sailor doesn't have to prove he's a man. There's no medicine for regret. Oh, get a load of that, will you?
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
That's a good old-fashioned 1940s a poster about sailors and how they may be gay.
What are you talking about?
Well, then why would they say that? A sailor doesn't have to prove he's a man. There's no medicine for regret. And it shows these two sailors...
Well, it looks like they're about to engage in sex.
No, they're not. One of them's a shore patrol guy keeping a guy back on the ship. See the gun?
How do you know? It looks like he's about to kiss him.
No, he's not.
Well, you said it's about gay.
Obviously, the copies, yes. A sailor doesn't have to prove he's a man. There's no medicine for regret. Boy, that's pretty... God, if you were in the Navy back then, that'd be an insult, wouldn't it?
Well, obviously.
But you couldn't say anything, could you? You couldn't go to somebody and say, hey, what's with these posters? I mean, they tell you to, shut up. Look at this. Here's another harlot.
Yeah, she looks like some kind of slut.
Juke Joint Sniper is what they call her. Shorty's Place. Check that out. So, in other words, she's like a guy in the weeds that'll kill you, except...
It's a chick.
Right.
Well, she got a gun?
No, they're saying that if you have sex with her, you might as well be out there and there's a sniper and he's going to blow your head off. See, so these are all venereal disease. Carry on. Oh, this is carry on the Army's fight against venereal disease. So on and on and on. So they discovered a bunch of these. Check it out. It's on the Microsoft Network. And here's one here. 98% of all procurable women have venereal disease. Are you ready for that?
Well, how do they know that?
I don't know, but that's what they're saying. 98% of all procurable women have venereal disease. Why bet against these odds? And that's another one to keep the guys from getting venereal disease. All right, we'll be back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. We got Frank Gray on the line who has practical experience with this. We'll talk to him about it when we come back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
No, we're not going to make it look like Frank Gray, and I understand you're having a function tonight, Margaret. You're going to be going home to it, and this is for a piano player, right?
Well, yes. Phil, this is for Wayne Gurdon, who is a friend of ours, and Frank is holding down the fort there at home. Frank, how are you, dear?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Frank, we wanted to talk to you about your experiences. Well, were you in the service?
Yeah, I was in the Army.
And at the Korea?
Yeah, I was Korea.
And what did you, were you in Korea?
I was a radio operator.
Okay, and Frank, where did you contract gonorrhea?
Oh, I didn't get that till later on when I was in Hollywood, and I'd already made a lot of money, and I was already, can you people shut that door, because you're driving me nuts. You really are, Jerry. You should have more. I'm on the radio right now on the Phil Haney Show, so I want all of you people to be quiet. I want everyone to shut up and just... All right, I apologize, Phil.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah, Phil Hendry. Okay, I'm on the Phil Hendry Show. Yeah, he's on the radio. I apologize. Margaret, can you hear me?
We can hear you fine, Frank.
So I got gonorrhea when I was already... I'd made my first million as an attorney and as a producer, and a lot of people asked me that. They said, you got the demented gonorrhea, and I said, you better believe it. And they said, how was the, you know, which comfort girl got you, kind of ha-ha. And I said, no, it wasn't that at all. I was clean as a baby's rear crack.
A baby's what?
The crack.
A baby's rear end.
Yeah, a baby's rear end. I was as clean as that. It depends on the baby, I guess. It's a silly argument to make.
Yeah, I was going to say, it probably depends on a baby.
Yeah, what's that? Is that Dickman?
Yes, it is. Take it easy.
No, Bud, that's fine. You're right. But I wouldn't push it too much because you don't get too many right, Bud. So, but yes, you're right. It depends on the baby. It depends on the mother of the baby, if you want to get right down to it.
Okay, can we move past that now? And
Yeah, I apologize. So the baby, not the baby, but I got gonorrhea from some actress.
Do you know who?
Well, I do, but you're never ever gonna get his name out of me. There's no way.
So was it a guy?
I said actress, you idiot.
It's an act, Bud. The gender confusion.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry.
So I got this from him, and I think he turned around and infected. I mean, he was a beautiful young lady. You've got to understand, when you're producing television, and at that time I was involved in producing television. This is the early to mid '60s. You understand, Phil?
Right.
And I was doing a number of projects, and I met a number of gorgeous young ladies, young actresses. I myself was in my, I was in my prime, but I met him. He came in for a casting call, and he was absolutely gorgeous. This young lady, and he read for a couple of parts, and I was in between girlfriends at the time, and I asked him, I said, would you like to have dinner with me? And he said, yes. Excuse me, I've got a...
Do you have to drag this? I hate hearing this story, Frank.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to. I mean, I love Margaret. He's the best. But the young actress that I dated and, yes, had repeated sexual adventures with, he was fantastic too, but not better than him. Okay?
Yeah, meaning Margaret.
Yes, meaning Margaret. Margaret, you know I love you, and I've forgotten all about him.
Thank you.
Now...
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm crying. I found myself tearing up. I can't believe it. Thinking about him. Anyway,
Who's he?
Who's who?
Bud.
Oh.
That Dickman, boy, you gotta get that guy in for a diagnostic. I mean, she's losing it. She's coming unglued. So, then I went to the doctor, and she said to me, yeah, you're good. You're as good as God made green apples. You're good to go. And I said, you don't even know why I'm here. And she said, oh, you're right. And I said, when I go to the bathroom, it brings me to my knees. The pain is so intense. It burns like napalm and brings me to my knees. And she says, so you're kneeling in front of the toilet? And I said, yes. And I said, last night I was over here at Kilgallen's, which was a bar and restaurant we had on Sunset back in the days, Phil. And I went in, and they had the old-fashioned latrine where there was a trough. You know, Phil?
Yeah.
And so I went in there and to tap a kidney, as we used to say, and it brought me to my knees. The pain was so intense, but thank God I was in front of a urinal. But in comes Fred Bartholomew, and she, as you know, at that time was managing Billy Barty. So she comes in to take a leak, and she's walking by a line of guys that are all regular size until she comes to me. Well, I'm on my knees because the pain has brought me...
To your knees?
Yes, and I'm urinating. And she says absentmindedly, Billy, you know, I'm keeping a seat warm for you. And she continues walk, and I said, you must be some kind of douchebag if you think I'm Billy Barty. And she looks at me and she goes, oh, for God's sake, Frank, it's you. Why are you on your knees? It was Daryl Zanuck here. Ha, ha, ha. And everybody laughed about that. And
all right, Frank, you've told enough of the story. You're going on and on and on and on.
I apologize.
Okay, so in other words, okay, so this was you contracted this in Hollywood in the 60s. The story about you being at a urinal, he thought you were Billy Barty.
Yeah, because I was kneeling, and she thought I was her client.
This was the guy that managed Billy Barty.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. So,
Now what I want to ask you is, you have you been to the doctor? Obviously, yes, you have.
Yeah, I go in for treatment still, and had I taken care of it when I should have taken care of it, why, it'd be as clean. I'd be as clean as the crack. I can't.
Phil, you. I'm sorry. Hold on, Frank. Phil. We're coming to a break. Frank is making an ass of himself.
Will you let me do this, please?
Are you talking to me?
No, I'm talking to your wife. Okay. So you are now, you've been to the doctor.
Yeah, I've been to the doctor, and I take soda treatment 3 times a week.
What's that?
I don't know. It's just, it's something. What is it, Margaret?
It's a round of antibiotics.
Yeah. And had I taken care of it at the time, why, I'd be just as beautiful can be. But I didn't. I had sex with this actress. He gave it to me. And then I turn around, and I had sex with another actress, and I gave it to him. Me, the big Papa Bear in the middle.
You know, Frank, you don't have to be so crude.
All right, I'm trying to tell everybody how he gave it to me. You remember him, right? Candy, not Candy, it was Clarice, no, not Clarice, it was Clara. Clara Burton Fern.
Yes, Clara Burton Fern was from Germany. She was an ingenue that Frank was grooming for a number of projects. And as soon as he went to the doctor and found out what was wrong with him, he packed her back to Germany, and that's the last... And you not only sent her back to Germany, Frank, you sent her to East Germany at the time, didn't you?
That's where I thought that he was from.
No, she was not from East Germany. She was from... Frank sent her back to a communist state, to imprisonment.
Oh, get out of here, will you? What difference does it make? You know, I can tell you, he came over here, gave me gonorrhea, and then I sent him home. And you know what? I think it serves him right. to be sent back to East Germany, and he can sit and, you know, count the dumbbells there in a gymnasium or something. It doesn't matter. I don't know what happened to him. But, boy, was he beautiful.
All right, well, we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Seems to be your problem.
I don't have a problem, Frank. What you're talking about, East Germany was a communist state.
Well, it served him right.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, this is a hell of a thing. I mean, that's a very wonderful gesture on the part of the Arizona Diamondbacks. A young man by the name of Corey Hahn, a 21-year-old outfielder who became paralyzed sliding into second base in a college game. He was drafted in the 34th round anyway by the Arizona Diamondbacks. And they drafted him because of his injury. They want to give him an opportunity to work in the organization. In 2010, Hahn passed up a chance to sign with the San Diego Padres out of high school. Instead, he decided to go to college, generally considered a smart move for an aspiring young baseball player. But rather than going on to a successful collegiate career and a higher draft pick, Hahn saw his dreams halted in the most tragic of ways. In just his third game for Arizona State, Hahn slid into second base, cracking his head against the infielder's knee and shattering a vertebrae in his neck. He was paralyzed from the chest down, his career over before it began. Good Lord. Now he has endured vigorous rehabilitation and coaches his former teammates at ASU from his customized wheelchair. And once he graduates, Hahn will join the Diamondbacks. And here is the tweet from the Arizona Diamondbacks. We proudly select outfielder Corey Hahn of ASU baseball in the 34th round of the first-year playoff, of the first-year player draft. Welcome to the D-backs family. Now, we could be any more excited, Diamondbacks scouting director Ray Montgomery said. Talking to Corey, he was thrilled and, as usual, humbled and actually thanked us, which kind of surprised me. At the all the credit goes to him and his family for what they've endured. We couldn't be more happy about bringing him on board. Well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty damn cool. Corey Hahn tweeted back, I cannot thank the D-backs enough for what they have done. So humbled and will be forever grateful. So honored to be a Diamondback. Team President and CEO Derek Hall, who visited with Hahn in the hospital after his injury, said he doesn't want Hahn's selection to just be a gesture. We want to make this permanent, he said. We don't want to make it just about the selection and about him being a draft pick, but about working here full-time as a full-time employee with the Diamondbacks. Hopefully, we'll make that come to fruition for him and his family here soon. Boy, that's fantastic. But I mean, geez, what a rotten break. I shouldn't say a rotten break. I mean, what do you do? You know, this is the whole thing about the cards that life deals you, you know?
Yeah, you're all complaining about everything.
What do you mean I'm all complaining about everything?
Well, I'm talking about, oh, man, you know, and I got 3 hours I got to do.
Yeah, Phil, that is true. You know, you should be very grateful of the things that you have.
I am grateful. If I don't sound grateful, I'm sorry, I apologize.
Well, don't be all pussed out about it either. I mean, be angry.
What do you mean, be angry?
In other words, I mean, you do have a right to complain. But also, there's people who are in wheelchair.
Yes, so if you have it tough, which you have had it tough, there's no question, but also ease back on it when we bring up someone that's in a wheelchair.
Okay. Is this another one of these tests or something?
No, we're just talking. You're sitting there all about, oh, this poor guy. And I was just sitting here thinking, I'm going, you know, I was just sitting here saying that the Phil's all talking about this guy. And he's sitting over there saying about the guy. And he's sitting there complaining about his life. I'm sitting here saying,
all right, enough with the sitting here and me sitting there, okay? So you're saying that I complain too much for a guy that's not in a wheelchair.
Exactly. You're not in a wheelchair. But, you also have a right to complain because you are very talented. And you should be treated better, I think. But don't go so far as to think you're all this and a bag of what, bud?
Pork rind.
Pork rind.
I don't think I'm all this and a bag of pork rind. I don't think about, especially if I read a story like this, I don't think about it at all. I think that, yeah, you're right. This kid is, I'm humbled. And who is it?
Mr. Hall.
Yeah, David. God, is everybody checking in?
They've got a point. We don't want you to become a complete P-U-S-S, and I don't want to say the rest of the word because people will think it's bad, but you know the extra letter. And
yeah, probably why, right, Mr. Hall?
You shut up, bud.
Be quiet, man.
So we don't want you to turn into a real sissy boy because you do have a right to your opinion, and you have been kicked around like an animal. However, I don't think you're in a wheelchair. Last time I checked, you're not. Right, Margaret?
Nope, don't see any wheelchair underneath him.
Okay.
What is this all of a sudden?
It's nothing. It's nothing. So what we want you to do is give some very strong opinions. There's no question about that. But always remember, okay, always remember that it could be worse and you could be, could have something befall you the way that this poor guy did, this poor young man, Mr. Hahn. So it's a tough one. And so what we've done is, Bud has rigged up an alarm.
What is it with these alarms, David? Can't you guys trust me to say the right thing?
No, we got the alarm. What is it, bud?
It's not like a car that's going to go into a brick wall, and that's probably what would happen to a guy on account of being a chair.
Yeah, so this is a car going into a brick wall, just like a guy would if he's going to be in a chair. That's going to be
the... Boy, that's the most tasteless thing I've ever heard.
Phil, what we're trying to do is remind you of your duty to yourself and your listeners, but don't get so high on the hog and think you're all this... and that it doesn't smell that which comes out of your blank blank.
Exactly.
Exactly? Did she say anything?
Yes, I did. You want me to say it again?
No, I don't. Thank you.
So what we're saying is just go ahead and give an opinion. Just go ahead and do the show as if I'm not sitting here on the phone with my TV on bothering the hell out of you.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm distracted beyond belief.
All right, I'll turn it down, baby. Hey, baby, turn it down. So go ahead.
Well, what do you,
what do you mean, what do I want you to talk about? That's up to you.
All right. I have a very strong opinion about this NSA situation. I think it is beyond...
Bang.
Crash.
Yeah, that's a crash.
Yeah.
Okay, so what did I do there? I was giving too strong an opinion?
Yeah, watch it with the NSA. Everybody thinks Obama is a war criminal. Let's just go with the flow on that one, okay? Even though he probably isn't. As a matter of fact, he probably hasn't done anything wrong. As a matter of fact, I happen to know he hasn't done anything wrong. As a matter of fact, your support of him is absolutely correct, but I don't want you to go too heavy with this, so go ahead.
Well, President Obama, you know, he may have done some things wrong.
So you're pushing out again.
Yeah, you're pushing out.
Yeah, you got to be stronger than that.
Get out of here.
Boy, you just hang up on him willy-nilly, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I'm not going to sit here and listen to this jive, okay? I'm going to give my opinions, and I am feeling very, very sorry for that young man. But by the same token, you don't have to worry because I'm not going to... Now what?
Well, I mean, you know, you said you're very proud of him. That sounded pussed out. And then you said, but, you know, so it's kind of waffle.
Yeah, it's kind of like a waffle thing, you know?
Do you know what waffle means?
Yeah.
What? And don't tell me it's something for breakfast.
Well, then I don't know what it means.
Waffling is to go back and forth, meaning one minute you think of one thing, and the next minute you have a different opinion.
Yeah, so if you do that, you're going to get the brick wall.
Yeah, I mean, that you do that, man, and you got a helmet on, you got a bike helmet on for the rest of your life.
No doubt.
Well, I'm just going to say this. I believe that that's a great move by the Diamondbacks, and it's one of grand, it's a wonderfully charitable and encouraging thing to do for that kid, and I hope he takes advantage of it.
Yeah, you can't push that.
Will you knock it off with that, man, before I stick you in a real car and let it go into a real wall?
Do that to me?
Yes, I would. Okay, so anyway, world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. Do you have your backstage pass? You don't. Well, you need to go get one, because with a backstage pass, you are now intimately involved in the world of Phil Hendry, and that can only be a good thing, seriously. With a backstage pass, you have access to the largest repository of radio material, radio show in the history of the world. It happens to be one damn good show. With the Backstage Pass, you also have access to our video archives, our daily podcast, our classic podcast, as well as our Milwaukee Lion archive, as well as our webisodes, and so very much more. All kinds of audio and video miscellany. It's there at philhendryshow.com. A Backstage Pass for a month is only $9.99. For 6 months, it is whatever it is. How much is it, bud?
I got to go on a website. Pretty cheap, though.
I can tell you this. Our prices are competitive, and we have so much more, it's sickening. I mean, we've got so much more on our website than any other radio website out there. And I think our prices are very, very competitive. So I could go over to the site, and I don't want to do it right now. But check it out. The Backstage Pass at philhendryshow.com. You can get a 1 month, you can get a 6 month, or you can get a 1 year. And while you're there, go to our online store and pick up, you know, we've always got these bits of merchandise that are, I think, kind of, you know, cutting edge. Like, remember when we had the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirt?
That made LA Magazine.
It did. Well, now we have the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie. And we've had that thing out before people knew what a hoodie was. It's just a really good piece of, it's a nice sweater to have for the summertime. So pick up your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. It's got a hood, and it's warm, and it's comfy, and it's got Ted's logo, and it's got, we want to put our meat in your mouth on the back so that if anybody gets really angry at that, you don't have to look at their face because they only see it as you're walking away, and so on and so forth. We also have our CDs. We've got keychains. We've got baseball caps. We've got T-shirts. All kinds of stuff there at the Phil Henry Shop at philhendryshow.com. All right, we're going to come back here with the final segment of the show in a minute. Phil Henry Show, philhendryshow.com. Take care. Peace out.
Truth,
El Pacifico.
Is our
we
bitch.
Love you.
The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
After our show tonight, go to our website. Well, you're at our website. If you're watching us on Phil TV, you're already at our website. Check out our homepage. We always have a show log, which gives a very, very rough idea as to what it was that we had on the show. All right, so we already did the... Oh, here, Patrick Ewing. I don't know if anybody's interested in the basketball news. I think the Spurs beat the Heat tonight to take the third game of their series. Patrick Ewing is going to go to work as an assistant to Michael Jordan at the Bobcats, man.
What's that?
The Charlotte Bobcats.
What's that? Oh, so that's the NBA?
Yes, that's the NBA.
I thought it was called the Charlotte Hornets.
It was the Charlotte Hornets. It's now the Charlotte Bobcats. The Charlotte Hornets are down in New Orleans. They're the New Orleans Hornets.
New Orleans has basketball teams that make no sense at all. The Jazz did make sense, but they're in Utah.
Well, whatever. I don't want to get into a discussion about these ridiculous names. But the point is, the two 90s stars...
Wait, don't blow me off like that. I'm your co-host.
Excuse me, Margaret. I didn't mean...
Thank you. Go ahead.
Great point, Margaret.
Now you blew it. See, you blew it. You were doing fine, and you blew it. Now you're going to have to back up and do it better.
What is it with you all of a sudden?
I'm just asking you to do... If I make a point that's stupid...
All right. Hey, Margaret, that was a great point about the Bobcats and the Hornets. You're right. New Orleans ought to get some basketball teams. They got better names for them. But they don't, and they suck.
That's fine.
Thank you very much, Margaret, for a good point.
You're welcome.
What are you talking about? The Jazz are in New Orleans.
No, they're not. They're in Utah.
Well, then it isn't the New Orleans team, is it?
No.
Then what do you mean they've got a bad name?
The Hornets, okay?
The Hornets what?
The Hornets are the team that's in New Orleans now. That's a stupid name.
Well, it's not that stupid. It's not as stupid as the Utah Jazz.
I don't want to talk about this right now. I don't want to talk about stupid nicknames of teams, if you don't mind. God.
Why not?
Because I just don't. That's why not. Now, where was I? Yes.
Talk about the New Orleans Jazz.
The New Orleans Jazz today traded Patrick Ewing. Not the New Orleans Jazz. I'm talking. Patrick Ewing was rendered all but helpless while watching Michael Jordan's Chicago Bulls march to the New York Knicks on the way to the NBA Finals glory. Anyway, the two stars of the 90s, fellow Space Jam actors, will reunite in an effort to find success together with the Charlotte Bobcats, Jordan as the owner, Ewing as an assistant coach. Wow.
Boy, I guess we know who the big boy in the block is there, huh?
Well, I don't think that necessarily indicates that Ewing's broke. According to Yahoo Sports, Ewing has agreed to become Charlotte's assistant head coach, working alongside new head coach Steve Clifford. The report has since been confirmed by multiple outlets. A formal announcement is expected later this week. Clifford and Ewing have strong ties. The two worked together on Stan Van Gundy's staff in Orlandi before Clifford accompanied former Magic center Dwight Howard to Los Angeles last season. Clifford and Ewing also worked together on Jeff Van Gundy's Houston staff for years. Boy, that Orlando team, there's a good team, a little tiny market that's doing well.
Well, didn't you say, though, that Orlando was always a good basketball market?
Yeah, Orlando, as long ago, as I've told the story millions of times, but they've always been a good basketball. Yes, I've always seen them as a good basketball market. But when you look at all these towns like Sacramento, they had a problem, and this guy and that guy and all this other. Man, you don't hear about the Magic threatening to move no place. People love them.
Yeah, they got a lot of people. They have the Tampa Bay Lightning.
That ain't basketball, man.
Oh.
You make a good point. Central Florida's basketball team is Orlando. So if it's the Tampa Bay market, probably travels to Orlando to see the Magic play. Same thing with Daytona Beach, all that stuff. When it comes to hockey, it's the other way. And football, it's the other way. And baseball, it's the other way.
So in other words, Orlando doesn't have really much to offer except for a basketball team and
Minnie Mouse.
Yes, Minnie Mouse or Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, Orlando's got Mickey Mouse and the basketball team, and Tampa's got the Devil Ray, or not the Devil Rays, the Rays, the Buccaneers, and the Lightning.
And are they any good?
They all suck. The Rays are pretty good. When I was down there, somebody was telling me that the Buccaneers are reviled and hated down there. That just blows me away. You know, that was the first major league team that city ever had. And now they are acting down there like they can just get themselves a football team anytime they want one. Maybe you can. I mean, it could very well be. And maybe you could just blow off the Buccaneers and they leave town and they go someplace else, which is what's going to happen if they keep on the way they are. Tampa right now with the Buccaneers, there's no love lost. They aren't selling out games. The Buccaneers are, they're called all kinds of disparaging things. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they just go ahead and split. As far as the other teams go, I don't know. I think the Lightning have got a good following, and so do the Rays. So they're into their hockey, and they're into their baseball, and the rest of it sucks. So what do you want from me, you know?
I don't know.
The less said about that, the better.
Yeah, you're thinking of buying a house down there.
Why did you have to say that, man?
Well, Phil,
I didn't want to talk about it on the show.
You've got it all over Facebook, for God's sake.
I'm thinking about buying a house down there. I'm not moving there. I'm not moving there at all. But I'm thinking about having a home there.
Well, get a load of Mr. Look at Moneybags over here.
It's not Moneybags. No, 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 no. Not Moneybags, no. What I'm thinking about doing is buying, because the real estate in Florida is way more affordable than it is in California. Way more affordable. So I was thinking of buying a home in the little town of Dunedin there, which is, I really like that town, because I happen to know a lady in Bradenton. Now, I don't know, man, if it's going to happen or not, to be honest with you, but I got to go down. I want to look at this house down there, and if it happens, it happens, you know.
You going to move down there or what?
No, I am not moving there. No, I'm not moving there. And again, no, I'm not moving there. I'm staying in California. But it would be like a place to,
So you're just going to jet down there.
Margaret, why don't you give it a rest, okay? Because it ain't all, you know, things can be rented out. It's not like I'm just throwing money away on a mortgage. But, and I wouldn't do it if there wasn't somebody important to me down there, okay? So I am, you know, that's what I'm thinking about doing. And I didn't bring it up. Big Mouth here did.
Well, I'm glad Bud did, so we can get it out in the open. Clear the air, and let's just put it on the table, whip it out, get out a tape measure, see...
Never mind.
See how big it is.
Yeah. In any event, that's the thinking, man. That's the plan, Stan. But, is it going to happen? I don't know. But the real estate down there is pretty cool. Now, the thing that I heard the other day is that real estate's coming back in California. I got a friend of mine that just sold her house. Her and her husband are moving to Chicago, and they just sold their house in San Francisco. They had a house in San Francisco that they sold for a pretty decent price. So maybe things have started to perk up here in California. I don't know. You know, and I would never give up my house here because it's a great house, man. It's like a block from the beach. Why the hell would I want to do that?
Doug, you want to go on the beach?
Yeah, maybe, but the point is I'm not going to sell my house, so forget it. It isn't going to happen. But the home that I saw down in Florida was so gorgeous. It was unbelievable, man. It was like 3 acres. I couldn't believe it, you know, and the price, holy God. It's like, well, it's not 3 acres, but it's got all kinds of trees on it. And it's got,
Yeah, Phil, don't talk about how rich you are. The people that are listening to you, they don't have a pot to throw it out of.
Let's just not say that, okay? I'm giving everybody hope. Hope for the future. If Phil Henry can do it, you can do it. I said this to you many years ago. You didn't believe me, but here we are now at the other end of that terrible, terrible, long nightmare. And,
Called the Phil Henry Show.
Called the Phil Henry Show. Anyway, we'll be back. We'll see you guys tonight. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Phil Henry and Dan Northcraft. Join us online at philhenryshow.com for all that groovy stuff. You know, live streaming, video, audio, and downloadable stuff as well. See you tonight at 10 on the East Coast 1. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.